In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have you ever sat and contemplated the importance of clothes? I know that sounds like a weird thing to contemplate, but clothes actually matter much more than we may think. For to begin with, we literally count on particular clothes for everyday life. Now, what I mean by that is society only functions because certain people wear certain clothes. Every day, depending on where you go, you'll probably run into a handful of people wearing specific uniforms. Policemen, firemen, utility workers, grocery store workers, pastors, and so on. All have our own distinct clothing to identify who they are. But it's actually even more than just that. For not only are all of these identified by their uniforms, but those uniforms are meant to establish trust that this particular person is capable and authorized to act in a particular fashion for our benefit. So I can even speak of my own experience. The reason why I wear what I wear is because it communicates so much more than I am capable of in such a short time for people just to look at my clothing. For when I go and visit members in the hospital, shut-ins in nursing homes, even complete strangers in their own homes, my clothes help me overcome so many obstacles that I wouldn't otherwise. For if I was wearing anything else, I'd be turned away. For clothes communicate something about us, our authority, our personality, even our duty to one another. So today in our epistle reading, Paul leads us to talk about clothing, the clothing of a Christian. For the clothing we wear communicates much, much more than any other uniform you've ever seen or worn. For we face indeed many opponents who put many, many obstacles in our way. But the clothing given us by God helps us overcome these obstacles and opponents. For so Paul tells us tonight, stand in the strength of the Lord, putting on the full armor of God. As we talk about clothing, we know, like most things with faith, we're talking about much more than the clothing itself. When we begin to examine all of Scripture, we see this theme running all throughout, which Paul eventually picks up here. For why do we even need clothes in the first place? Clothing itself should be a reminder to us of man's fall into sin. For Adam and Eve were created perfect, righteous, even holy. Genesis even tells us they were naked and not ashamed. But indeed, that changed quickly because of the fall. Instead of being righteous, they were trying to cover their shame. For Adam and Eve immediately tried to sew their own clothes to cover their own nakedness, their shame, their sin from God. Fig leaves, however, don't serve as decent clothing for the pinnacle of God's good creation. Thus, the story of mankind, ever since the fall, is man's attempt to cover our sin and shame. Yes, our clothing talks. It speaks about our utter insufficiency, our shame and sin, which we've even inherited all the way from our parents. For every lie we tell, every curse we utter, Every bad deed we do is like another stain on our clothes, a stain which can never be removed. For it's not hard to imagine what we'd hear if we came dressed in stained and ripped clothing for a job interview, a date with a significant other, or worse yet, standing before our very enemies themselves. Indeed, you don't see armies marching into battle with stained and worn out clothes. For Paul reminds us in his letter the very enemies we face, the ones we must stand before in the clothes we wear. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. For Satan comes and takes one glance at your clothes and knows everything about you. Then Satan will proceed to mock you until you can no longer stand before him, but instead run and cower and hide in your sin and shame. Ha! You're wearing that? I bet you think you actually look good, don't you? Why don't you toss a little extra mud on there to match with all your filth? It would really finish off your look, wouldn't it? You're not going to make it anywhere wearing that. How much do you think you're even going to make it before God? Mocking, insulting, until we run and hide indeed. But clothes. What could really be so significant about clothes? But again, it's really not about the clothes, is it? For we should know that clothes mean so much more than what we wear. Rather, the clothing we talk about is who we are. For the clothes Paul points us to talk about today isn't our clothes, the ones we wear on a daily basis. It's in fact nothing we could even find or fashion ourselves. Rather, it's the clothing given to us by God. For see, this is the difference throughout all of Scripture between the righteous and the sinner. God clothes the righteous while the sinner seeks to clothe himself. This was the reason for the very first sacrifice in the Bible. The killing of an animal was to provide suitable clothing for Adam and Eve. But that garment was only to foreshadow a greater one. For God would send his one and only Son, clothed in holiness and purity and righteousness. But Jesus would come down to from heaven to earth, and he wouldn't keep his garment. He wouldn't remain spotless either, per se. No, rather, he would take your garment, full of filth and stains. And Jesus then would be stripped by the soldiers, nailed to the cross, completely naked. On that cross, Jesus fully took on your sins and shame, the shame of all of our sins, even all the way back to that original sin of Adam and Eve. For in our very sin and shame, Jesus would die, that he may take all of that and bury it with him in the grave. But you see, Jesus himself wouldn't remain dead. Nor would he remain naked either, for God the Father would clothe his Son in resurrection glory, raising him on the third day and giving him all authority on heaven and earth. God would clothe his Son as the divine warrior who would finally come and vanquish all your enemies. Indeed, where do we find such strength to stand against rulers, the authorities, the cosmic powers, and the spiritual forces of evil? Nowhere else but here, in the baptismal waters where Christ robes you in his own righteousness, which has indeed covered all of your sin and shame. For so Paul says, finally be strong in the Lord, in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Jesus has dressed you not in filthy rags, but in holiness, righteousness, and purity. This is why whenever a person is baptized, we speak of this garment. We speak of baptism as a cleansing, a washing away of that dirt and stain of our sins. And furthermore, being clothed in nothing else but Christ. Indeed, this garment is much more than just pretty fabric. It's the very armor of God, which makes even Satan run and hide. So fasten on that belt of truth, so you won't fall to Satan's lies. Put on the breastplate of righteousness, that Christ may guard your heart against the arrows of the tempter. As shoes for your feet, tie on the gospel of peace, that Christ may steady your feet along that straight path. And take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, that Christ may so guard your thoughts and mind with his forgiveness. And last, but certainly not least, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, that it may guide your hand and your deeds against all the works of Satan and his forces. Yes, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, stand firm, stand, knowing that by the blood of Christ, he has so clothed you in his strength and righteousness, that you may be able to withstand all the attacks of Satan. And at the last, you will stand clothed in holiness, purity, and righteousness before the very throne of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God surpasses all understanding. Guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.